This episode is brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the safest place to play.
Napier is long gone. But instead, a hero. Before a crowd of hundreds who chant his name in adulation.
Crowd holler, we want Benny.
It's a given, Benny. Give them what they want. Give them what they want.
The crowd roars. We're going to see Ben one more time.
Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Weather conversation will make your mother sick. One couch and alcohol with three fat guys. We say mean and crazy things, and one of us is high. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Wheelbarrow full of dicks. Where the penis jokes come fast and thick. We've been getting away with this for far too long. Join us Monday nights on
strangelabel.com.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Of course it's me.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. And guys, we're joined by a very special guest.
Very special.
One of my favorites.
Ditto.
Mr. Benny Michaels from Pod Cheese is here. Benny, hi, how are you?
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Always a pleasure.
Guys.
I get uncomfortable calling into the show as myself. I'm more comfortable calling in as some.
Do you want to be a character? Do you want to pretend you're a clown?
Oh, guys, Benny had to walk out of the room. Oh, who just walked in?
Guys, we have one hell of a show for you tonight. So much to discuss. I live in the St. Louis area, so I'm sure people want to know about the civil unrest, right, Travis? That's what the people want to know about. They want to know about the civil unrest.
Well, I think what we need to get to the bottom of is U2. Let's go U2 right away.
Travis, I was given U2 tickets to go to the concert in St. Louis Saturday night. But Friday night, there was a verdict in a 6-year-old first-degree murder trial. Now, listen to this. It was a cop in a high-speed chase. He was chasing a heroin dealer with prior... Now, when they look up your license plate, they can see who owns the car, right? That's something they can see, right? So they look up
who owns the car,
and they say, oh, look, this guy. Let's look at this guy. They look up this guy, and it's a heroin dealer with prior arrests for guns and dealing heroin. And this guy, he's sideswiping their police car. They corner him at a dead end, and he backs into their police car. And this guy, he gets shot and killed by the police officer. And so... I mean, right off the bat, not a great guy, this guy. The problem with this civil unrest we keep having is...
Speeding. Guy was speeding.
He was speeding. See, that's another one. It's dangerous, Benny, in the parlance of our times. You know, you got to be safe out there because you could hurt somebody. Especially, well, you know, there's all these people out blocking roads nowadays. You got to be careful. this six-year-old murder trial. They tried to get the cop for first-degree murder. They tried to prove that he premeditated killing this heroin dealer that he was chasing in his car. And it turns out they didn't have enough evidence to prove first-degree murder, and they didn't charge him for anything else. That's the only thing they charged him for, was first-degree murder. They didn't charge him for his illegal gun that he was carrying. They didn't charge him for manslaughter or anything like that. It was first-degree murder, and that was it. And so they let the verdict go on a Friday afternoon, and everybody went apeshit. Napier works downtown, and they told Napier, this is a huge office building that Napier works at. And they just told him, hey man, shit's gonna get crazy here, so you should just charge us for 8 hours of work and go home. And so Napier just went home, and a lot of businesses did that. They all just said, oh, shit's going to get crazy here. And they all just went home.
Well, your area already went through that with Ferguson.
Right, right. And I mean, a lot of businesses were preemptively boarding up their windows.
Yeah.
And these businesses were accused of being racist for preemptively boarding up their windows. There was a lot of people that were mad at some of these businesses for making the assumption that shit would go awry.
Doesn't it every single time now, no matter what the circle, like I'm all for, like, this is a little bit different than the fella who was in Minnesota who pulled over and was cooperating and told the cop he had a gun and had no intention of doing anything with his wife and kid in the car, and the cop blasted him to death.
Right. The guy had his wife and his kid in the back seat of the car.
We cannot lose our minds every time. There has to be a bar, and you have to get upset at the proper ones.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, Travis, is I feel like if that guy was the hero, if that was the guy that we were out protesting for, good. Because that guy didn't do shit.
No.
Make that guy your hero. Put him on T-shirts. I am for that.
Yeah, legally carrying a firearm, disclosing it to the police officer, shot dead in his vehicle with his family in his car. Yes, absolutely. Protest all you want. Shit, burn stuff. I don't care. But this guy is a convicted fucking heroin dealer who was running from the cops with prior gun charges.
I was told that they're making a Michael Brown biopic.
Well, I saw the Tupac biopic, and that wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good?
The Michael Brown story being that intriguing. If they couldn't make a good movie about Tupac, the teenager from Ferguson, Missouri,
Who stole some cigarillos and got shot by a cop. That's going to be a good movie, right?
Yeah, I don't know how you can make that in an hour and a half.
Well, you know what you're going to do with that? You're going to make a movie like Fruitvale Station, where it's an hour and a half of just the dude hanging out, and then the last 5 minutes is him shot dead.
Yeah, like, didn't Tom Hanks make that movie about the guy who landed the plane? Beyond that, what else is there? Like,
spoiler,
that could be like a 5-minute YouTube short.
It's I'm just saying, find better heroes. I want to be on board with what you guys are doing. It seems like a good cause. If you think that you're getting killed, I can understand you guys being upset about that, being like, hey, we shouldn't get killed. I'm for that.
Yeah, for sure.
But if there's video of the guy purposely backing into the police car trying to evade them and acting a fool, then I don't know. I kind of don't get it. So there was a U2 concert the next evening. I had tickets to it, and I was going back and forth because, you know, you see all this stuff on the news, Travis. You see, and actually they were at the venue, standing out front, you know, just making a big ruckus. And I'm thinking, I don't want to put me and my wife in that situation. I don't want to go be in that. They're throwing bricks at police officers. And I bounced back and forth between not wanting to be involved and saying, well, fuck that. I'm not going to let them ruin my good time.
To be fair, how good of a time could you have possibly had at a U2 concert?
They're playing all the old stuff, Travis. They're playing all the old stuff.
I hope so. Anything from Zooropa. If it's not on Zooropa, I'm out.
If you look on Twitter, the next evening they had a Ed Sheeran concert that was also canceled. And the Ed...
and St. Louis weeps.
The Ed Sheeran concert went on sale 6 months ago. And it sold out immediately. This was probably teenage girls who were going to their first concert, and they were so excited to go see the musical stylings of Ed Sheeran. This was their goddamn lives. You know, they were so fucking excited to go to this concert. And the night before, it
probably also like redheads, like fellow redheads that probably all bonded by, you know,
Gingers
a lifetime
Unite.
Of, right. Yeah, a lifetime of just getting dirty looks from people for no reason.
They took to social media to share their disappointment with their 20 followers each, all their friends from school. They were getting on their Twitter accounts to say, guys, I can't believe the Ed Sheeran concert was canceled. And there were tons and tons of these activists that were like trolling Twitter search terms for like Ed Sheeran canceled. And they were replying to these teenage girls and scolding them and saying, a man died and you're worried about a concert?
Yeah, to be fair, it was 6 years ago.
And do you think that these girls who are being deprived of their Ed Sheeran concert, do you think that they're sitting at home contemplating black lives?
I don't know, but I do have a question. Ed Sheeran does have red hair, right? Or did I just make a complete...
He's a red-haired guy.
About redheads, that made no sense.
No, you're good.
You know, tell you what, that Ed Sheeran, he's a funny-looking dude. He is not a good-looking man. He's very strange-looking.
He was on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but for like 2 seconds in the woods around the fire. Yep.
But he learned to play the goddamn guitar, and he has the voice of an angel. And that just proves that you should have played guitar. You just should.
When did it turn back around? Because there was a good solid 10 to 15 years where you must be an attractive person to become a songster, a hit songster. And now it seems like they'll let any asshole in there.
I got Jody B in the chat trying to book his show in my chat room.
Oh, in the middle of our show? That's great. I appreciate that.
Book guests.
You're about to really make an impression here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you're killing Benny.
Jody,
you're getting other podcast interview requests. And you're doing good. Yeah.
I appreciate it, Jody, but, probably an inappropriate time to be discussing this.
But, Charles, they're bringing back Jolt Cola. Did you hear the news that they're bringing back Jolt Cola?
Well, it was only a matter of time. You know, they had the Surge Renaissance. They brought back Ecto Cooler, much to my Halloween happiness last year. Crystal Pepsi made a comeback after 20 odd years. And obviously Jolt was the next one to come back. I did see that it was a piece of my childhood again, coming back, nostalgia sells. It's probably horrible.
I don't remember it tasting very good even when I was a kid and was excited about it.
It tasted like a really, really cheap cola. It's just that it was so much goddamn caffeine that you could sit up and play Nintendo for 12 hours at a time.
See, I remember the marketing for Jolt Cola, I believe, was just like a word of mouth getting around that, oh my God, if you drink Jolt Cola, you're going to have so much goddamn caffeine in you, you're probably going to die. There's no way that a person can drink a whole Jolt Cola without just exploding because it's crazy.
Do we have any documented cases of exploding via Jolt Cola?
Well, that was the rumor, I remember. They had Jolt Cola at the Florissant Dairy down the street from my parents' house, Travis. And I would ride down there on my bike, and we would see the Jolt Cola on the top shelf. And it was like a thing that you saw. It was forbidden fruit. You saw the Jolt Cola, and you said, oh, God, we can't get Jolt Cola because that'll just fuck us up.
You were pretty responsible children, man. Me and my buddies were like, let's go get a 12-pack of Jolt Cola, jack those down, go over to Rainbow Falls Water Park, and shred up the slides.
This chat is distracting me.
Benny, stop looking at the chat.
All right, I'm sorry. I told you I'm nervous.
Benny, what is Steve Rees asking for you to do? He wants you to find a Wikipedia article? Benny, focus on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio program for a little while. I know that the chat is trying to divide your attention, yes. But this is important. This is a big deal.
Yes.
We only do 4 of these a month.
It was important to me, too. I asked what we were going to discuss on this show, and you told me. I said, oh, what's that? And you said, doesn't matter. Well,
that's pretty much the response after we're done with the show. Is like, how is that? It doesn't matter.
See, Nirvana's Nevermind came out, Travis, and it was such an overwhelming success that it started to kind of have like a backlash. And people were saying, Nirvana is too big. They're not cool anymore. And so in preparation for their new album, the whole marketing of that album was, oh, well, their new album is just going to be so hardcore, so badass, that they're certainly going to lose a shitload of people. And, you know, only like the diehard fans are going to like In Utero. And it's like it's Jolt Cola in music form. And they're kind of doing the same thing with this new Jennifer Lawrence movie. They're kind of saying, oh, not everybody's going to like this movie. Really, only people who really get film are going to like Mother.
Yeah,
Benny's watching the goddamn chat.
I know. I'm sorry.
Benny's commenting in the chat.
You know, usually the chat just ignores what's actually happening in the show. Now they're trying to take a guest's attention from us.
Travis, we'll just wait till Pod Cheese in the chat is done
talking about
the goddamn Philadelphia Eagles. I'm having a conversation. I'm getting into fidget spinners. I'm weaving a fucking web. Sorry.
I'm trying to wear several hats at once.
You're getting the fidget spinners? Sweeping the nation by storm.
See, Travis, it was In Utero, the Nirvana.
Is a fidget spinner?
They told you that you wouldn't like it, and that made you want to like it. And then
you did
the same thing with the Mother movie.
I just heard about this Mother movie like this weekend. Did it just come out? I'm very unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, it just came out in. It does make me want to see it more that so many people are pissed off. Like I'm seeing like tweets from people who saw it with a big audience where people literally stood up at the end and shouted, fuck you, at the screen.
It's going to divide audiences, Travis.
I heard people were saying it was better than it.
Yeah. People say it's amazing. And then other people, most of what I see is question marks. Like nobody knows what the hell they just watched. And I'm all for that.
I should have saved that it remark.
Yeah, Travis, you truly get film, you know.
Well, it's the one thing I can say is that if it's anything like Darren Aronofsky's, what is it called, like The Tree or The Fountain or some shit? It had Hugh Jackman in it, and it was like a tree that he was playing to try to like
save.
Yeah,
that movie was garbage. That movie sucks.
I got done with it, and that was my reaction. Was I don't even know what that was, but I know I don't like it. And I'm hoping that I get done with Mother and I say, man, I don't know what the hell that was, but I really liked it.
Is it a movie that's trying too hard to get people to be like, what the fuck was this? Because that's no good.
I think that's pretty much what Aronofsky does. I think most of
Darren Aronofsky?
Yeah, I think most of his movies are, what the fuck?
No, I mean, his movies are pretty good. Not all of them.
Going back to, like, Requiem for a Dream and shit, like, I know what the movie was about. It's a bunch of, like, heroin addicts, but it was, like, 2 hours of just, like, mindfuck imagery. Yeah,
Black Swan was good.
Black Swan was good, yeah, but also at the same time, it was, what the fuck is actually happening here?
Do you remember that movie...
What's her name? Natalie Portman's finger in herself is what's happening. Yeah,
so good.
Do you remember that movie with Robert Downey Jr. that, like, they made the whole movie, but then they went back and drew pictures as the movie? And so the movie was animated, but it was filmed, the whole thing, and then they
framed Roger Rabbit.
Is that Waking Life?
I don't remember what it was. Robert Downey Jr. was in it. And they filmed the whole movie, but then they turned the movie into cartoons by just, like, tracing over the movie. It was fucking stupid. That would fall under the definition that Benny was talking about. Guys.
Kind of like that AHA video.
Yeah, it was exactly like the AHA video. Yeah, yeah.
But for an hour and a half.
Yeah, but see, the AHA video, I think that it was a lady that was being pulled into a cartoon world. And so, like, it was, that was what it was. It was like a cartoon world that she was being pulled into. She, like, he yanked her through the page. But this,
and he's like
they didn't even reference that they were cartoons, and cartoons had nothing to do with the movie. It was just a bad movie that they drew the guys.
What was that one that came out a year or two? Was that Anomalisa, where it was all puppets, but didn't really make sense for anybody to be puppets?
Didn't see that one.
I haven't either.
Do you think we need a break, and then we'll get into my fidget spinner thing, Travis?
Fidget spinners.
You know,
yeah, I don't want to ruin anything, but is there somebody else calling in? I don't know if I'm supposed to say, or I don't want to blow any big
introduction. You mean like a guest?
Yeah.
But, like, not a real guest, a fake guest?
No, I meant like a real guest.
What do you mean fake? We don't have fake guests.
Somebody calling.
Interesting characters.
I thought we were just talking about this before the show started.
You know, you two probably would have been cool, right? To go see. Nah. You don't think? I mean, like, somebody gives you free tickets to you too, Travis. You're mad? You're not going to go?
I'm mad. I just don't like you too.
I don't really either, but don't you think it would have been a good one to go see? Don't they probably put on a good show. They probably play the hits. Beck was
It would have to be free tickets.
And like a parking pass too, because I don't want to pay to park.
Like, if you two was playing in your backyard, you'd open a window?
I don't know that I'd open a window.
You'd open a window for you two?
Isn't there going to be some clown calling in?
Benny, we talked to a clown last week.
Benny, I don't think we're talking. We might. I mean, if like we run out of things to talk about and like we're really treading water, Benny, maybe we'll bring back the clown bit.
It went over so well the first time.
Guys, the phone's ringing. It's Binks the Clown.
No, I thought he really was. Sorry. I'm nervous.
He's probably got protests to be a part of. Yeah, I'm sure he's not coming back.
Clown Lives Matter.
Hey guys, we have a brand new sponsor. That's right. This episode of the show is brought to you by mybookie.ag. You may recall my pick of the week last episode was Football Sunday. Well, in my opinion, to make a truly complete football experience, you need to have a few things. A fantasy team, check. Alcohol, check. A house void of screaming children, check, check. And a couple of wagers in place. So who you got? You got the Pats, you got the Browns, you got the Bills, or you got the Jets? Well, let me tell you something, bub. Where you're placing your bets is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I always tell people to use mybookie.ag. And right now you can use our promo code WFOD for up to a 100% deposit bonus. 100%? Travis, you're joking. No, fine sir, madam. I assure you, I am not. There are a lot of online sports books out there. MyBookie.ag is the only one backed by me and this show. So you know they're the best when they have my stamp of approval. I don't go giving that out willy-nilly. MyBookie.ag has been in the sportsbook business for years, and their rep is solid as a rock. They do 100% cash bonuses. Use promo code WFOD. So right off the bat, you're making money for practically doing nothing, you filthy, dirty layabouts. These guys also have the fastest payout, seriously, just 2 business days. It's no different than betting in one of those swanky Las Vegas casinos, except you can do it. Stick it to the man.
And tell the wives to hit the bricks, because Sunday's for the guys, right?
WFOD! Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
With $219 million and a 70% Metacritic, It finished with an impressive 153 points. Even more impressive if you consider it was B-Rob's third-round pick, taken well after turds like Detroit and The Dark Tower. Looking at the board, it's hard to imagine anyone catching B-Rob at this point. With the chance that Thor Ragnarok makes way, way more than Justice League and has a better Metacritic, and even then I'd consider it a long shot. The Lotus cast is the one I'm really worried about. They're really counting on Thank You for Your Service matching American Sniper's success. Even then, is it going to make enough bank to hang with the big boys? We'll have results for Not Safe for Water Coolers pick Mother next week.
Ever been using your phone's GPS and thought to yourself, this bitch don't know me? Who gives her the right to tell me where to go? Maybe it's time you get the directions from a friend.
In half a mile, keep right.
Go to WFODix.com and look for Waze under the Extras tab.
In 0.1 miles, turn left. And then turn right.
Mike is the driving companion you've always wanted. Get him today.
Turn left.
Strange Mabel.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Yeah. Benny's here with us. That's the thing that's happening.
Yes, can I promote my podcast?
Yeah, Benny is on Pod Cheese. What's going on with Pod Cheese, Benny?
Big triumphant comeback.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, hopefully next week.
Benny, I've heard this song and dance before.
I know.
What makes this one different, Benny?
I don't know. Well, this was supposed to happen like months and months ago. I put that little mini series together, that cutting room floor mini series that you helped me with doing the first run on Strange Label and whatnot.
That was
supposed to
lead into the big thing.
Yeah, and then that completely went to shit and fell apart. And then when I wanted to come back, I had a whole thing to come back, and it was based on things that were kind of going on in the world at the time. And literally everything that I had planned completely fell apart. So that just scrapped my whole return show idea. And then I kind of got depressed after that. And
you were going to do a whole show about Lady Gaga doing the Super Bowl halftime show?
No. Wasn't that long ago. But hopefully next week, big triumphant return, Pod Cheese, and we can hear them here on this website at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right, on Fridays.
That might.
And I appreciate you keeping us alive, Mike.
You know what I hear about Pod Cheese?
What's that?
The cheese is positive.
It is. It is. And it will continue to be so.
Travis, really, you know, Benny got me hooked on this podcast called The Monumental Waste of Time.
Yes.
He encouraged me to listen to this show, and it is like a maniacal fan for like a comedian named Joe Matarese.
Yes.
And I don't know anything about Joe Matarese. I've never heard of him. I know nothing about him.
That's why you listen to this podcast, to educate yourself about him.
But this show is all about Joe Matarese. It's like a fan podcast about this comedian that I've never heard of. And I don't know why I listen to it every week, because and the funny thing is you'd think that listening to a fan podcast about a comedian would make me want to seek out the comedian's work. But that is not the case.
Yeah.
I have not watched a Joe Matarese special. I have not listened to an episode of Joe Matarese's podcast. I don't know anything about Joe Matarese, except I listened to a fan podcast about him and his life.
Yeah, he's a polarizing individual. And the guy who, I'm sorry, well, this is weird. The host of the show is somebody that I met as a man. He's
how did the host of the show all of a sudden pop up? That's really weird, because
yeah, there she is. A plus is in the chat.
The host just appeared. Like a bell must have rang, Benny. A bell must
have
rang.
Very nice.
It's time to eat.
He's a friend that I lost contact with for several years. He stopped. I knew him through comedy, and he stopped doing comedy, and so did I. And then he came back with this podcast. He's presently transitioning
into a lady.
Yes, into a lovely lady. And so he keeps everybody up to date on that. It's a really interesting show, and it's about this guy Joe Matarese.
Why did you give up comedy? Were you just not getting anything from it anymore?
Well, you know what happened? For me, when I started doing it, like some pretty cool stuff started happening for me, like really early on, and probably earlier than it should have for me. You know, I wasn't really prepared. Like I didn't have like a very long act, and you kind of need a long act to
stay relevant.
Yeah. So what was happening? I did it for like 10 years, and I got to do some really cool things, and I had some really cool experiences and opportunities, some of which I kind of blew, but the fact that I had them nonetheless, I got to be on some radio shows that were like nationally syndicated that I was a big fan of. And, I'm a married guy. I've got two kids. My kids started getting older, and doing comedy kind of takes you away from doing that. And a lot of this stuff that I was doing that was really cool was behind me. You know what I mean? So it wasn't going to get that good again. And then it was kind of taken away from things that required my attention more so than standing up in front of, you know, 20 to 30 people and telling stupid jokes. You know what I mean? I would do like big crowds. Like some of these crowds were like upwards of 250 people, but they are out in like the boonies, man, like in the middle of nowhere. Which is a bummer to be driving all over the place. And finally it was like, you know what?
A big crowd in a shitty area is still a big crowd though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was still as good as it was going to get. It wasn't going to lead anywhere. And a lot of these guys I was doing it with, like the headliners, these guys were like 30-year veteran, like road comics, completely miserable. Like, it's you can
see the life ahead of you and it didn't look bright.
Yeah, you could see the miles. And I was like, okay, well, if this is about as good as it's going to get, and this is what I have to aspire to.
Well, that's I never do hear any, like you said, like long-term road comics. Anytime I hear them on podcasts or do interviews, none of them seem to be very jovial people. They seem to be pretty fucking miserable just in general. It must be kind of a prerequisite to be just sad bastardy about everything if you're on the road that often.
Yeah, I'm like a 40-year-old man. I'm not necessarily on like Comedy Central's radar. So at some point it gets a little embarrassing. So I had a really good show in New Jersey a couple years ago, and I said, you know what, this would be a nice time to kind of bow out gracefully before this gets embarrassing. And
you pulled the George Costanza. You went out. Here we go. I'm out. It's good.
I'd like to think I pulled something a little cooler than a George Costanza.
George Costanza. He worked for the Yankees.
He did, among many other things.
I was listening to a Greg Giraldo retrospective thing. I don't know how I got stuck listening to it, but it came up and I was like, oh, that's a way I could kill an hour. And I'm listening to this thing about Greg Giraldo. And I think that they were saying that like a stand-up comedian has kind of like a shitty outlook on life because they're always looking for things to make jokes about. So like you're out there and you see something and you think, oh, that would be something good to shit on. And so like you never really like enjoy things because you're always trying to find what's bad about it to mock.
Judy in the chat, you got to stop, man. This is distracting the shit out of me. We will talk. Hit me up on Twitter.
Jody really wants you on his podcast, Benny. This stuff, I know, but it's all really good stuff. And he wants it. He wants it for his podcast.
But anyway, Monumental Waste of Time is a great show. But that being said, let's not stray this conversation too far away from
Pod Cheese.
Pod Cheese, the fidget spinners of podcasting.
If you follow me at Pod Cheese on Twitter, I'll let everybody know when the triumphant return episode is out.
See, fidget
we will
spinners,
be sure to
on to fidget well. Spinners.
Travis, fidget spinners yes, are there everywhere now. They're at all the stores, but like nobody wants them.
They are. Well, that is wrong. If you are a child, that's all you want.
Yeah, but
is
the fidget spinners, they're gone already. The fidget spinners, there's a flood in the market where all these people they're getting their fidget spinners. They said that pumpkin spice is out, Travis. The pumpkin spice. I read an article on Market Watch. You know, I'm a frequent Market Watch reader.
Yeah, if there's one thing I know about you is you're always watching the market.
On Market Watch, and they said that 49% more products are out there with the pumpkin spice name. They're selling.
And they're all being consumed by white women.
A shitload more pumpkin spice stuff this year from last year. Because people think that you want pumpkin spice, but it's only shown a 21% growth in sales despite this 49% spike, Travis, in pumpkin spice. And I think that's the same thing with the fidget spinners. There's so many more fidget spinners, but people aren't buying them because they don't want fidget spinners anymore. Maple is the new hotness. The people, they want maple in fall.
Do either of you get excited, like if you're somewhere or someone's house and someone shows up with pumpkin beer? Is anyone like, oh, nice? Or do you just audibly sigh?
if it's the only option, I guess I kind of just shrug my shoulders. But if there are other options, I just ignore the fact that they brought pumpkin beer. There are a few pumpkin beers that I can get into, but if it's too pumpkin-y, I'm checking out.
It's too pumpkin-y. It overpowers everything else. How are you doing?
Yeah.
It's too
strong. Leinenkugel's made a pumpkin spice beer last year, and typically Leinenkugel's I'm all in for. Most of their stuff is pretty good. And their beer is terrible.
Spice. As opposed to their lemon beer.
I love that summer shandy. It's like the perfect summer beer.
The Curious Traveler. They have a grapefruit beer. That's pretty good. The Curious.
Everybody's got one of those now. Those are horrible. Yeah.
But
kind of not.
Different strokes for different folks, though. You know what I mean?
Travis, yeah, I don't know. They want maple. They want maple now.
I don't.
I'm not really liking Travis anymore.
You don't like the summer shandy?
Doesn't like guar.
We don't really relate. I bashed on guar for comedic effect. You know that.
Well, hey, every show needs a yin and a yang.
That's right. I'm the yang. Wait, or is that the yang? The problem with pumpkin spice is that everybody is on social media, and it's about this time of the year, or maybe even a little bit more in October, where it seems like everybody is talking about pumpkin spice, even though nobody is actually consuming it. So all of these trend watchers see pumpkin spice being tweeted about, and they're like, oh, shit, we need to amp up our production on pumpkin spice by 1,000% because what could go wrong?
I saw a shirt at Walmart earlier that said pumpkin spice everything. It's made it to novelty Walmart shirts.
Oh,
it's
over. I got it.
Walmart has starter now. Nobody wears starter anymore. It's at Walmart.
I just got a
sweet. We went on social media and responded to everybody's pumpkin spice remark and said something like, oh, you're one of those pumpkin spice guys, huh? They'd feel instantly stupid about posting it and they would stop.
How can you be talking about pumpkin spice when that guy got shot by a cop?
So this is has this affected you? Because is this in the city of St. Louis?
Yes.
So is there like
yes, Benny, I wasn't able to go to the U2 concert.
Yeah, I know, but like, I mean, I was watching like the live streams. You and I talked about this when you came on my show. Like the live streams I was watching from Ferguson. Like not the news coverage, but the people just taking live streams from their phone and streaming it.
Yeah.
Was insanity. You know what I mean? So just having gone through that, like however many years ago that was. What was that, like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
5 years ago?
Yeah, which is crazy.
They're kind of prepared like to deal with that. Like, have you noticed, like, was there like an immediate response? Like you said, they sent everybody home
from work. They know it's going to happen, so they just send everybody home and start boarding up their windows. That's just what we do now. If there's going to be something that might upset people, we got to take preventative measures. We got to start.
What about that iconic McDonald's with the arches that were on TV for like 24 hours a day? Were they excited like they might get that exposure again? Yeah. People would pay a fortune.
So you guys brace yourself for civil unrest like people brace for hurricanes down in the Keys?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We start putting out sandbags.
Well, your house, your home was affected by those Ferguson riots.
My property value went way down. It did. Like I get that thing in the mail that tells me how much my house is worth, and it said, hey man, your house was worth X amount last year, and this year it's worth $4,000 less. And I mean, like, I didn't do anything to my house. What happened? You know, my house isn't $4,000 shittier than it was last year. It's the same house. So what happened? The Ferguson thing happened, and
yeah,
That's it. I mean, it wasn't like, this house was built in the 70s, and so it's depreciated over time. I don't think that's the way houses work.
Then that no good nook came and hurled that can of canned peas at your house.
Right. They've been listening.
How did you know that? Were you just sitting in your family room and heard a thud and walked yes, out and there was yeah. like a antifa was out there
my
with canned goods?
My family room and my dining room are all like the same room. And yes. out past my dining room table is like a bay doors. Is that what you call them when it's two doors? Bay doors?
French sure. doors?
Yeah.
French doors. And so, I mean, like, it's probably 20 feet from me. Yeah, they bounced a can of peas off of one of my French doors. And it made a loud thud while we were sitting here watching TV. Freaked us both the fuck out, you know. And
yeah,
we jumped up and we went and looked out the window, and there's a goddamn can of peas out there rolling around on the deck.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, could that have been like a neighborhood hooligan, or was that like necessarily a Michael Brown Ferguson rioter? Or was that like the 13-year-old down the street who like you?
I don't think chipped, the timelines match up. I think that it's probably within the same year, but I don't think they were related. I don't think
that, you know.
Peas were thrown at my house because Black Lives Matter. I think that the peas were thrown at my house by some other nefarious thing.
I feel like you missed like a golden opportunity to put a big banner out or a flag or something that after that happened that said this house is protected by the Second Amendment. Just something really fucking ridiculous.
But don't you think you're inviting a certain element to come if you put something like that out? Like you meet force with force?
People who want to just have a gunfight?
I mean, shouldn't you just put a sign up that says, guys, please leave me alone?
Did it ever occur to you to maybe go down to where like the real intense rioting and the news coverage was with like a WFOD sign?
No, that didn't occur to me, Benny. I showed up weeks and weeks later just to see if the Krispy Kreme donuts that I like going to was still there.
That occurs to me constantly, showing up places with a sign that says like, listen to Pod Cheese.
Opening to get on the news.
You know what? This isn't something I'm very proud of, but anytime WWE comes to Philadelphia, where I live, I get comp tickets. So I go to any of their tapings or what have you. So SmackDown came to Philadelphia, and we got our seats. We always get really good seats, but we're on the side of the ring. We're on the camera side of the ring. So the side we're on is the side that the camera is looking at. So to bring a sign is kind of unnecessary because there's no camera that's going to – am I making any sense?
Yeah, yes, but you yes. bring a sign anyway.
I bought a sign because I didn't know where my seats were going to be. and it turned out we were on the same side as the camera. So my listen to Pod Cheese sign was all for naught, as they say. But –
Well, John Cena might have seen it.
We had like really good seats. We're like section one, and on like right next to us, a couple rows next to us, was all women wearing pink shirts. Okay, so gotcha. At one point, WWE, because they do a lot of charitable things, they took a moment on the big screen. WWE is proud to welcome and celebrate the brave breast cancer survivors. and a guy
I hate where this story is going.
I love it.
With a handheld and motions with his hand. He stands in front of these women and motions for the women to stand up and wave. And you know, the place of course was clapping and cheering. And I leapt from my seat and ran over with my listen to Pod Cheese sign. And held it up, and the look that this cameraman gave me, like, come on, man, really? And I sat down. I was with my wife and kids. Just looking at me like, why would you do that?
How old were your kids at the time? Just want to know what kind of example daddy is setting.
This is probably about 3 years ago, so they were young, you know. I mean, they were old enough to take to a SmackDown event.
I love that story so much.
Not the proudest moment, but
did you see an uptick in listeners, Benny? Did you see an uptick in your stats?
No, and you know what? Unfortunately, SmackDown is a taping. It's not a live show.
Oh, so they cut you out.
Those bastards.
Lesson learned, you go to the live broadcasting.
Yeah.
The good news is they probably cut out the breast cancer awareness people, too. As a
result. You get your sign out of there.
Because who needs that fucking bummer in our escapism, you know?
Yeah. But I'm wondering, in retrospect, I mean, I don't know if anybody watching SmackDown at home, you know, because, you know, right or wrong, I think that the shot of the breast cancer survivors in the audience is probably when whoever's watching at home maybe gets up to use the bathroom or something. You know?
Another snack.
Oh, cool. You know, let's watch this, you know. And if they were watching it, I don't know if they would have immediately jumped on their phones and Googled Podgy.
Although they might have, because you photobombed a bunch of breast cancer survivors.
I leapt from my seat.
So, and see, that I would never do something like that, because, you know, I like somebody earlier when I was talking about whether or not I was going to go to the U2 thing, and somebody said, were you scared, Mike? Of course. Well, I'm going to go get involved in that shit. They're throwing bricks at people. I'm not going to carry a listen to the wheelbarrow full of dicks sign during the civil unrest. Are you nuts?
Well, put something like Pro Mike Brown on it, and then underneath, like
WFODicks.com.
WFODicks.com is Pro Michael Brown.
Hashtag BLM WFODicks.com.
Yes.
I guess it's only a matter of time before we start doing that, right? You add your activism in with your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You might divide the audience, but see, you're challenging people to like it.
Would you just have like maniac cops out your way? Like, this is usually, you know, you hear a lot about these police shootings, but, you know, they're from different cities. This is two from like right in your backyard. Or is it just like, I heard St. Louis is pretty bad. I saw some gangs show that like profiled gangs in different cities.
Which gang was it? What color do they still do?
I don't remember, but they were talking about, because St. Louis, what's that?
Do they still do the colors? Like, do you wear the red and the blue for the gangs?
I don't remember what the name of the gang was, but they were talking about
logos.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I remember when I was a kid, they said you can't wear too much red, you can't wear too much blue. Those were the ones I knew about.
Crips and the Bloods.
Right.
What about the Latin Kings?
Yeah, but no offense, but I mean, if you walked outside wearing like a red sweatshirt, like we're gang's going to identify you as one of the
I don't
the
think gang so, members, no.
Yeah, like one of the whitest guys they've ever seen.
You can never be too safe, Benny. You can never be too safe. I just removed red from my wardrobe altogether.
Dirk, I'm just out there trying to get my pumpkin spice latte. Dirk.
Mike,
maybe that's why there's so much civil unrest, because our two major sports teams wear both red and blue. The
Mike
Cardinals
walks out
wear
with
red.
A...
The Blues wear blue. Those two see each other, and they start whacking at each other. And then
a bunch of black guys beat up Mike in his red sweatshirt, and Mike's like, but I'm not a member of the Bloods. And they're like, yeah, we know. We just wanted to beat the
Yeah, we just hit your face.
That was the furthest thing from our mind, actually.
They keep running through my backyard, and I go out on the deck, and I yell at them. I say, hey, go play in your own yard. But then they're going to grow up, and they're going to be bigger than me. Because, you know, I was the biggest guy in the sixth grade, and then that summer, and I came back and I was the smallest guy in the sixth grade. And then.
Really?
And I've just always been the size I was. There was that glorious year where I was big. And I should have done all my ass kicking then.
I had that same thing in like fifth and sixth, well, most of my elementary school days, but like, over fifth grade summer into sixth grade, I like shot up to like 6'1" And everybody's like, holy shit, look at you. Look at how tall you. And then that's exactly where I stayed for the rest of my life.
Never been in a fight. I avoid it. I don't want to get punched. That it hurts.
Does hurt.
You couldn't have sent Drunk down there with a WFOD sign? He doesn't care.
That's funny. He sent us, I remember after recording the show one night, he left and he sent us video of him driving through the shit, like texted us video, and it was, it looked pretty rough.
Yeah, why wouldn't he put that on his social media? I follow him on Twitter, Drunk, because he's Drunk's like my favorite guy in podcasting. And yeah. His Twitter is never anything good, but he has videos that he sends privately in text messages of riots.
Oh, my God. Mike Brown is in the chat, you guys.
Wow, we're getting all sorts of people.
I need to figure out how to turn that feature off.
Hey, you know, I'm probably saying his name wrong. He's a follower follower of you guys on like Instagram and Twitter, Roansender. Roansender.
Like that guy.
He posts a lot of pictures of the flat drunk.
He's good at it.
I enjoy those.
He's good at it. He's the one that won a handful of years ago because he had Andrew what's his nuts? Yeah, Andrew WK hold a flat drunk up at a
Whole band Gwar holding.
Yeah, he had Gwar do it. Yep, he had Gwar do it. After Dave died, he went to a Gwar show and had them.
He should have spread those out into different periods, and he probably would have won more. He already had won with the
Lucky for him, they didn't hear the episode where Travis shit all over the guy post-mortem.
Maybe I could have gotten... That wasn't post-mortem. That was before Dave died. I wouldn't shit on Gwar after
Dave. Why else would you guys have been talking about him?
Yeah, that's probably the only reason we talked about Gwar, Travis.
Maybe. Shit. I hope that wasn't the case. Well, all I can hope for is that they like shove me into some giant monster, like a fake Travis into some giant monster, and all it does is spit out blood and cum.
So we got a picture of Gwar holding the flat drunk?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I was drunk, that thing would be framed and hung in my dresser room.
Drunk probably didn't that even room care.
Dressers
he probably didn't.
No, even he's
care.
Yeah, he's typically pretty underwhelmed, even like because it was Andrew WK and with a thumbs up holding the flat drunk, and Drunk was like, oh, that's pretty neat. Ha ha ha. And that was the end of that. And then I think the Gwar, I don't think he even commented on.
He's coming back soon, right?
First week of October, Drunk will be back.
Spooky months.
He was very cool to me. The last time I was on the show and Drunk was on, he was very good to me. He knew I was nervous. He knew I was starstruck. And he made it special for me. And I appreciate that.
I think that's what Drunk does. I think he just makes everything special.
Makes dreams come true.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what happens with him. I feel like I'm a better person when Drunk is around.
See, guys, and you remember when Blue Raspberry took over the world?
We still all had one of my favorite characters.
Blue Raspberry.
No, what are we talking about now?
Weaseled its way into Jolly Ranchers and those other things. And like we didn't give a shit about Blue Raspberry, but then all of a sudden Blue Raspberry is everywhere.
Think there was a flux of blue at that time. That's when they added blue marshmallows to Lucky Charms and blue candy coating to M&M's.
Yeah, that's what it was. They just had too much blue. They started making all the blue.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, would you get on the flat drunks? We've gotten some flat drunk submissions, but end of October will be the drawing for the next winner of the flat drunk.
Where can people get the flat drunk? Where can people print the flat drunk?
On WFODix.com, you look under the extras tab. There is a tab that says flat drunks, but if you give me your address, I will mail you some flat drunks. If you don't want to print them, I'll send them to you. Just give me your address. I mailed out 3 today. That's that. WFODix.com. Look under the extras tab. There's the flat drunks. You print them out. You put them somewhere fun preferably in a public place where Drunk can be seen, where Drunk can experience the world. You take a picture, you send it to us. Any of the ways you send flat drunks, you send them to us.
Bonus points to the person who takes a flat drunk and puts it next to their mybookie.ag deposit.
I think there's
if you
at
take
least,
drunk to some civil unrest, I'll be really excited about it. The winner of the flat drunk contest gets a prize. It'll probably involve a baby box. Travis, would you say you have like a pick of the week?
Yes. Travis's pick of the week is the Kids in the Hall box set, complete series. I bought that bastard a few years ago and needed something to watch on the treadmill. Haven't watched it since I bought it like 3, 4, 5 years ago and started digging in. I'm just about to season 2 and I forgot how much I love that show. So I highly recommend reruns of Kids in the Hall.
Benny from one of my favorite podcasts, Pod Cheese, making its grand return soon. Podcheese.podbean.com.
Next week, if you follow me on Twitter at Pod Cheese or Instagram, this is Pod Cheese. I'll let everybody know there. And I appreciate anybody that's stuck around and supported us. People still send us messages from time to time, and that's pretty cool.
Be sure to go back and listen to all the back episodes. They still hold up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Benny,
you're a good
man.
Benny,
do you have like a pick of the week? Something that you want the people to know about? Something that you saw recently that you recommend?
Well, we were discussing that Monumental Waste of Time podcast.
Are you familiar with Joe Matarese? Do you know what Joe Matarese does?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've known who he was for years. I've never met him or anything. But yeah, he's been around. He's been doing comedy for a long time. He's like a regional guy. There wouldn't necessarily be any reason why you guys would have heard of him unless you were like a real diehard Stern fan and knew like all the random people that were like so 10 to 20,000 degrees separated from the show. But I mean, he's opened for, he's friends with Jim Florentine and Artie Lang and stuff like that. He's like an opening act guy, but he can do an act. He's not a bad comedian.
He's not
his stuff
a bad
is pretty
comedian.
Funny. I'm not all that familiar with his comedy. I'm just known from, I just know him of all the other stuff that he's gotten himself into. This guy gets snotted. I've never seen a guy catch so much abuse online.
It is kind of tragic knowing who Joe Matarese is.
Well, I don't know because I do know who he is.
Yeah, I guess
so.
I'm
not really listening through the ears of someone that doesn't, but you'll learn about him through the show. So that's my thing. And then of course, what else am I?
Travis, it's kind of interesting because the guy does like the whole show, like in his guy voice. And then at the very end, he calls Joe Matarese on Joe Matarese's hotline number and like puts on his girl voice.
Well, no. Listen, because I'm learning sensitivity towards the trans community through the show and how you're supposed to say things.
Did I say something wrong? I didn't mean to.
It's all right. That's what we're doing.
Benny, I fear confrontation. This isn't a thing.
We're all learning.
Okay, yeah.
He's presenting as a man.
Right.
Identifying as a woman.
But at the end of the show, his voice changes, Benny. He goes from like, you know, oh, hey, I'm doing a podcast. And then he's like, hey, Joe.
Yeah.
There's a transition. It's fascinating. It's interesting to listen to.
The best introduction I could say to give everybody to Joe Matarese would be he did a podcast called Fixing Joe for a while, and he did it. This was probably the best podcast of 2016. He did a live show, a live podcast with Artie Lang and Jim Norton and Anthony Cumia. And it all went horribly wrong for him. Like, it was really funny. It was probably the funniest one of the year. And he just got snotted for like an hour. Just did everything possibly wrong, you know? And that's when all the internet abuse started for the guy. And his it's been going on since this past December. Like, usually these things let up after like a week or so. It's been about 10 months. And now he's got podcasts about him. It's a whole
thing. Positive towards him. I mean, the podcast is, I think, unless it's all a goof, but I don't think it is. I think they like him.
I like him.
Is the whole thing a goof?
No, I think that it's a genuine, I think he's a genuine fan.
It's genuine.
Yeah.
Why would you do it though?
Mike, why do we do this?
That's a good point. So, guys, I mean, we did it. That is now like a full podcast that you can listen to whenever you
tell
want,
your friends to listen to.
Yeah, you know? you could pull it up. You can listen to it because it's out there.
Share it with your mom. And listen, if you, if you like the show and you show up every week and you download it every week, just do us a favor. Go over to that mybookie.ag and use promo code WFOD. Travis. They're going to give you 100%.
Travis. Hmm. I pre-make the breaks. And I made the break, the song for the end. It ties into a story that I was going to tell that I never told.
Oh, shit. Save it.
This has been a cool experience. I'm not used to going on a podcast and getting new bookings from the show chat.
Benny is seeing the WFOD bump.
Show's not even in podcast form yet, and he's already getting the bump.
So, guys, this song at the end, ignore it because we're going to talk about it next week.
Yeah, keep it in your head for next week.
Yeah, commit it to memory. It'll make it that much funnier. Thanks for hanging out. We'll be back next week. Benny,
thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Benny. It was nice to talk to you.
You too, man.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye. guys, it's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in, leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODShow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to WFODShow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Joni B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. If you go to WFODix.com and look under the Extras tab, you'll find a link to our Patreon. That gives you the opportunity to donate your hard-earned dollars to support the amateur cocksuckers who do that podcast you're considering removing.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Jody waited till the show was over, but he's in the chat room, and he wants to know when he can hit you up on Twitter to book you on his podcast.
At his convenience.
So just Jody's convenience. Whenever it's convenient for him, just be sure to hit up JodyB501 on Twitter and let him know.
That's the beauty of text-based communication, is you can send it and it gets responded to at the recipient's convenience and vice versa. Then that person responds.
Right. He sends it to you now and you get it when you get it, right?
Yeah.
You get it when you get it. Don't wait until later, Jody, because like then you might have missed it. Benny's like the Halley's Comet of social media.
I have a very narrow window.
Yeah. So you send it right now, Jody. We'll wait. Jody.
I prefer to call him the
tweet
Northern
to
Lights.
Benny right now, Northern letting Lights him know that you want him to be on the podcast. We will wait. You tell me when it's sent.
I'll retweet it.
Yeah. I will favorite it, but not retweet it.
Oh, that's probably a better idea. I'm going to favorite it.
Jerk-off, Travis, favorites it but doesn't retweet it? I'll tell you what kind of jerk-off. Me.
You know, though, it's pretty much one and the same anymore because if you favorite it, everybody you follow is going to see it.
Yeah, because they say, hey, look what produced Travis favorited.
Yeah, look at what he likes.
He sent me a private message. Right? He circumvented the system. He sent me a private message. There will be no retweets, no likes.
Oh, he sent you a private message? Did you get it? Did you get it,
crafty.
Penny?
Yes.
You got it?
Jody, that's... No. No DMs.
So this is the receipt that Benny did get it. So if Benny is not on Jody's podcast soon, it's Benny's fault.
Yeah, I'd like to go on that podcast. I would. And you know what? I'm going to need some help as well with mine. I'll probably be reaching out to you good folks
to be for some help on Podkeys.
Yes. Yes.
I was already. He said sent. He said sent.
I got it. I favorited already, it already. Already
did you favorite that, it, Jody? Travis?
I already favorited it.
See, speaking of Twitter, Travis, I saw a good one. There's a guy called the Horribly Awkward Podcast.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Which, I mean, like, aren't they all horribly awkward?
Yeah, they're all terrible.
I guess you could have just called it the fucking the cliche podcast. He opened a Twitter account that is just for retweeting Podern Family. Like, that's the only... Like, he has a Twitter account for, you know, his show. But then if you look, he has, like, a separate Twitter account that is just for, getting his circle jerk thing.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than going on Twitter and seeing 20 to 30 retweets of people that you don't follow, probably for good reason.
So the thing about it is the
family hashtag.
You have to give the guy credit because he didn't want to gum up his actual Twitter account with all the bullshit jerk-off fest, right? So he's like, hey, look, I'm doing my part. Retweet my shit to all these people. I'm doing it, just not with my actual Twitter account.
I think there's either fireworks or gunfire going off behind my house, so I'm going to leave.
Oh, boy.
You're going to leave your house, or...?
No, I'll probably stay in the house.
Get out there with the WFOD sign.
It is early morning. The sun is just peeking over the horizon. Sleepy wisps of morning mist are dancing lazily in the crisp air, slowly being burned off by the yellow rays of the new day. The only sounds breaking the serenity are the near silent wing beats of the early rising sparrows, moving stealthily, as if to not wake a sleeping lover. The river is whispering, telling silent secrets to itself as it gently strolls through the breaking day. Through the serenity, a sound begins to grow. Feathered heads turn as its source draws nearer. The river continues to tell its silent secrets. The morning mist parts like a delicate curtain as a Toyota RAV4 comes into view, bouncing down the gravel road like an ADHD child without its Ritalin. The crunching of the road slipping beneath nearly bald tires shouts in a gravelly whisper as the compact vehicle draws closer. A familiar tune but unfamiliar lead singer is blaring from the radio of the RAV4, slashing through the morning in stark contrast. The vehicle comes to a skittering stop by the riverbank. The engine turns off, and for a moment, the quiet returns. As if completely on cue, the door of the RAV4 roars to life, hinges screaming in unlubricated pain. A lumbering mass spills from the front seat like a Funyun-scented Hulk. A set of well-worn, steel-toed boots crunch the gravel as the trailer park clown car vomits its occupant. A light tinkling sound can be heard coming from the chain on the wallet as he adjusts his cargo pants. The namesake pockets of the trousers are nearly bursting at the seams with various baits and lures. He pulls his shirt down slightly and adjusts the collar. The silvery thread running through the embroidered rainbow dash glimmers magically in the morning sun, making her seem almost alive. As the day continues to break, the insatiable bulk goes to work. He grabs his floppy hat from the passenger seat of the RAV4 and places it on his head. It sponges up the tiny beads of sweat already beginning to form on his forehead.
Shouldn't have had that extra breakfast burrito,
he thinks to himself as he reaches for his newly acquired fishing rod, brushing aside the wrappers for the offending morning delight. His fingers close around the long, slender shaft of the rod, and his heart fills with delight.
There you are.
He pulls the rod from underneath the small mountain of discarded Tex-Mex and American drive-through bags. They flutter around like greasy autumn leaves as he exits the vehicle and slams the noisy door. The riverbank is once again blanketed with the gentle sound of nature. The only addition to the cacophony of silence is the soft yet ragged breaths escaping the novice angler. He sets the butt of the rod on the ground beside him and goes through the expert motion of pulling a pack of cigarettes and a lighter from his pocket. With one hand, he pulls an unlit cigarette from the pack. The rod begins to slip from the crook of his elbow as he brings the cigarette to his lips. The rod continues to slip as he paws at the air like a furrier, greasier Helen Keller. It clatters to the ground unceremoniously as the man lets out a curse.
Cunt flaps!
The man ejects the cigarette from its secure perch between his lips.
Shit fuck!
With a groan and a whimper, he bends over and collects the rod and discarded cigarette, this time making sure that he has full control over them. Lighting the cigarette brings a sigh of relief to the mountain of Eternia. And like the little engine that ran out of fucks, he begins to saunter slowly towards the riverbank. The soft riverbank gives way lightly underfoot as he moves into position, leaving shallow, murky footprints. The sound of his boots squelching in the grass echoes across the gentle water as he draws nearer to his usual spot. As he comes to a stop, he flicks the spent cigarette into the water and loosens the hook from its resting place on the first eyelet of the pole. As the sun continues to rise in the morning sky, the special needs Best Buy employee takes the first cast of the day. The lure takes a long, graceful arc out over the water as clear line slips from the reel with a whisper. Entering the water with a light splash, the lure immediately sinks to the bottom. The man closes the bail on the reel, pulls in the slack, and takes a seat on a horizontal log. A shuddering groan is heard as both man and log prepare for the long, relaxing day ahead. The sun wraps the man in its warm blanket, and the river continues to whisper as the line pulls slightly against the current. The man's eyelids slowly gain weight, and the river continues its monologue. The man yawns deeply, and his head droops as the river slowly lulls him into slumber. As if struck by lightning, the man shoots awake. The sun is hanging high in the sky, and its warm blanket of rays has been replaced by searing laser beams of fire. The once magical and glorious Rainbow Dash is soaked with sweat. Cargo pants have become a sweaty ball canvas tent of hell. The rod is laying at the man's side like a neglected, overheated toddler. Glancing at his watch, the man's notice is that it is far past the time at which he'd said he would have been home. The man begins to slowly gather his belongings like a sun-drunk, stay-puffed marshmallow man. Lumbering back to the car, the man's stomach raises its disapproval at the lack of fish caught.
Don't worry, buddy. We still got Arby's.
He opens the door to his car and throws the fishing gear into the passenger's side. It clatters noisily as the man slams his door and cranks the ignition. The car purrs to life as the familiar song starts again on the radio. Shifting the RAV4 into gear, the tires slip against the gravel, and the car pulls away as the man sings along with himself, singing a familiar tune. As the car disappears into the distance, a blanket of quiet once again wraps itself around the river.